press record. They're all press record, and you'll hack. And this is an awesome start. This week on the podcast,
so he spits, we have
Bill the Cat.
All right, so
the reviews thing?
Yeah.
All right, so let's do the reviews.
Because two of them. These two guys revel in shitty reviews.
John and myself do.
And so I'm going to do them in reverse order of what we did before. I'm going to do the one-star review first.
So uh-huh. So bad reviews bad reviews make the playlist here.
And
they get
I think
on the jukebox.
I don't know that this is a system we need to start putting
in
place.
The thing is that I think that what really needs to be reinforced here is that this is something that we do for us. And if y'all like it,
awesome.
If you don't like it, even more awesome. Press. And if you're willing to take time out of your day to tell us how much you don't like us,
that's
even more
awesome.
Well, and both of these, for what it's worth, I mean, like, y'all see internet reviews. Both of these are, like, there's no spelling errors near as I can tell. They're well written, both of them. So, that, like, it's an educated
so
person
erudite.
Giving us shit.
These are erudite posts.
It's validating as an artist.
So the first one, the one-star one, was, trust me, and anybody listens knows this is true, trust me, you have anything else to do. You could intentionally run toothpicks up under your fingernails all the way to the cuticle. Like, that is just...
Yeah.
That is visual, stunning writing. I'm already happy with
this.
It's
very, it's Capote. Yeah. It's Capote all over again.
It really is. I love the visceral hatred.
And to continue, and that would still be more enjoyable than listening to this steaming pile of a podcast. So they really
without the,
wow
this person
visionary.
Managed to use.
I want to be friends with this person.
No profanity.
Well, you know, I'm going to dox them because they're bad reviews. This is by a guy called...
No, that's not
no,
okay.
No, don't
no,
do that.
No,
that's
not
don't
okay.
do that. That's
no,
not
no,
cool.
No, 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 no.
It's their online name and...
Doesn't matter.
All
right.
No,
it's
I
not
think
okay.
that's cool. I don't think it's cool.
Not even
nah,
a little bit.
Yeah, you know, he just
it's,
like...
It's okay to talk about it. It's not okay to dox
remind
them.
Remind me to show you after the podcast
there you
when
go.
We're not on mic because the name is fucking... In fact,
if they're flat
earthers,
it's okay to dox them. However...
Which we did plenty of.
However... This is a person just stating their opinion. They did it in a very, very nice way. They didn't use any profanity. They used all the words. They did it in all the right way. And they managed to sum up the way that you either love us
or
hate
don't.
Us.
It's pretty funny.
And it's okay.
This is almost as good as I'd rather do more time in maximum security prison one. That was an excellent one, too.
All right, yeah. What's the other one?
So the other that one, the two-star one is much longer. But the first sentence... is
gripping.
Perfect. This podcast is an act of performative absurdism.
Beautiful.
I didn't have those words about this.
It's like he laid
and
out
I
our business
this.
Plan.
Yeah.
That's our business plan.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is.
Yeah.
We're not here to do anything.
Say it
quality.
Right in there.
Yeah. We
irreverently discuss.
We
irreverently discuss.
Yeah. It's so on point. Like I said, I'm fucking Ruin Heroes HQ, and I didn't know that about our podcast quite so well as they just succinctly put it.
Maybe we should change irreverently discuss
to performatively absurdly.
Performative absurdism.
Yeah.
I think we should do that, actually.
Yeah.
We should change it.
We might use this. I might take those words and put them in our, like, change
no,
our,
in
our
that's
listing,
what
our
we're saying.
Podcast description. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great idea.
I'm not going to throw
every
it in, I'm not gonna throw it into the...
turns into a performative absurdism wherein we irreverently discuss...
I'm not going to throw it in the stuff. I might
you know,
change our...
You just
sure,
might have me
though.
Do it.
But like,
I might just do it every week, too.
I hope this person listens to this episode.
I doubt they will.
Hate.
No, they're not going to. No.
Well, they might, because to continue with the with the review, they pick a subject with a cult following and then proceed to discuss it while mispronouncing, misremembering, and generally misrepresenting it. Again, really on spot.
Wow.
I like
this. Yes. Awesome.
I like where it's they're like coming Marin. From, and this is what makes me think they might listen to this one. And if you do, thanks. This is a fucking great review.
It is. We love it, honestly. Because you get it.
Yep.
You honestly get it.
I like where they're coming from, as I have a goofy sense of humor, and I like the idea of people listening to this, thinking it's real, and blowing their lids, listening to the hosts be complete fools. However, 2 stars, because they're flat out not funny. And because I want people to know that this isn't the place to find good content, but rather a waste of time. So
that's exactly
that's exactly
what we're doing.
Yeah,
this is like your daytime drive show. And if you like it, you do. Otherwise, change the channel.
If you're listening to this to be educated, Bob, you are another thing coming.
we might cite places we find facts, but honestly, I don't know that our facts are facts at any point in time.
Dude, I write the fucking thing. I know that some of it's a little sideways.
This is all about three guys that just want to sit and hang out and have a good time together. And we discuss something. And if you like it, that's awesome. If you don't like it, that's better.
It's so, very punk rock.
Fantastic, horrible reviews. I do like and appreciate both of them.
Very good. Very, very bad.
So, well written. Well thought.
Yeah. Awesome. So, moving on. Now that you guys know what you're fucking in for, or if you're here, you probably already do. Ladies and gentlemen and everyone else listening, we are Ruined Heroes, a weekly, free, and self-produced podcast wherein the three of us irreverently practice some performative absurdism. I don't even have that written down.
Performative,
I just had to throw it in
absurdity.
One. So good. Absurdism. I don't know. But we generally discuss a topic of societal renown or cult status.
Live at the Improv, Tyler.
I'm not good at this.
You're trying to substitute in two words and you couldn't have
it. I can't do it.
Yeah.
Refer to the second post.
The mispronounced part?
Yeah.
So anyway.
Drink.
Tyler, study like a guy who may have to stop due to a treaty. John.
I want to do 120 through the 4th of July Canyon again.
Nice. And Rupert.
The last of the three guys whose names you can't pronounce.
Please subscribe.
All of our names are unpronounceable.
Please subscribe and leave good ratings.
No, mine's in the Bible.
Leave good ratings and reviews.
Three different places.
Or bad ones, because these two get off on it. Anyhow, please subscribe and leave good ratings and reviews on whatever podcast you can get us through.
It's
free for you. It helps us. And obviously, we're entertained by that shit. To interact with us, we are RuinHeroesPod at Gmail, as well as easily found on Facebook and Twitter, where you get weekly hints. Thanks to our recent Twitter guesser. We like that. If you would like to contribute toward the cost of the show, you can subscribe at patreon.com/ruinedheroes and get extra content for just $1 a month. There are also upper tiers.
New person. Awesome. Thank you.
Yes, we have a shout out to give on that note. Links are in the show notes, as well as on our website, ruinedheroes.com, where you can also find older episodes. Thank you to those who do give, and our special shout out, because there is a tier where I think it's $2 a month. And after the...
Hell, at this point in time, if you're stupid enough to give us money, we'll just go ahead and shout out to you anyway.
So after the monetary conversion from Scandinavian money to American money...
It doesn't matter.
Our new patron, Nate, came in at that over $2 level. So shout out. Thanks, Nate. We fucking love it.
Thank you. We really appreciate it. And we also really appreciate the crazy backstory at the ballet class. That was cool.
Yeah.
Nothing better
than that. And Whale Meat's awesome, too.
That was really neat. Yeah, but like when I think about it, like...
And
well, I'm not sure.
Still get Surge.
When I think about it, like... I'm not really sure we've ever had a good review, but like... Our bad reviews are the ones that we cherish the most.
Well, you do. 2/3 of us.
You know, if you give us,
C's get degrees, baby.
That's the better.
And you just got to bring the curve.
If you give us like a really well thought out bad review, the chances of us reading it are pretty high. Because like
a well thought out review means more to us than just a 5-star with no comment.
Well, it's like the kind of thing where it's like, you know, if you're sitting there working with your friend and you're, you know, doing an engine pull and getting it out on the engine crane.
Don't know what language you're speaking.
And everything.
I do.
Everything goes swimmingly when you pull the engine. Nobody really
talks
about it.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
It.
That's bullshit.
But if somebody drops it and cracks the engine block, like,
that's when you
talk about that.
Yes.
And that's where
we are
with the reviews.
Or if somebody ends up in the hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or that time, like, Joey drank too much, like, Jägermeister and threw up all over himself. That's what you talk about. It's not
like
what,
the time you threw up on those fire dancers.
Oh, that was the best time.
Yeah,
of
we
my
talk
life.
About that all the time.
I love that. I love that. That was like my favorite drunk story ever.
People are way more prone to talk about a train wreck than talk about something that worked out well.
Yeah.
You never say, dude, I made it all the way home in normal time. You talk about there was a fucking train crash on the freeway.
Yeah, I know. And I was just like, you know, I was just like over at your girlfriend's house and I threw up on a bunch of hot fire dancers and they kept talking to me. Nothing.
Dude, achievement unlocked.
That was like, I'll never do better than that.
I gotta move this because I can't reach that.
I can't even top any of that. So
you don't necessarily want to.
I'm just going to stay here and be quiet.
Yeah. So,
were you there for that? No, I don't
know. He was DJing. I just happened to be walking through the kitchen when it happened. He was DJing.
Yeah, okay. You were DJing at that party?
In the garage, yeah.
Ah, okay. All right, this is really cool. I threw up right in their face. It was like a standing throw up. It was just like projectile.
Is that the first one or the second one?
Boom.
I don't remember. It was one of them.
Either way, I don't remember you being there. As far as I was concerned, the first time we met was when we started.
It was my girlfriend's house. I didn't have to drive home. I was fucking tossed, dude. So
everybody gets thrown out.
Trust me, cabs are cheaper than DUIs.
So, Hintro, in autumn of 2007. Oh, this is. I can't tell you who said this because it's from them. Anyway, in autumn of 2007, the topic adopted the strategy number one, O-N-E capitalized, with its four pillars: growth, shaping the future, profitability, and access to technology and customers.
In what, 2007.
Yeah.
Wow, the head of Twitter. Oh.
That's funny, but no.
No? Okay.
I think you mispronounced mental masturbation.
Who's that guy? Jack something or other? He's just like, who owns Twitter? Who is like...
I don't know who owns
Twitter. Who founded
Twitter? I can't remember.
He runs around, he looks like Sauron. Jack something or other. He's some sort of like couldn't get laid unless he had $1 billion.
Oh, I mean that's anybody who builds a social media platform is that person. Like look at Zuckerberg. It was literally built because he couldn't fucking get laid.
Well, that's exactly how it started out.
Literally, that is the origin.
Go ahead and get laid.
This is probably the only really solid fact we'll have today.
And that's
the only guy.
Teddy was at best.
The only guy who was at all good looking who did any of that stuff was the antivirus guy, McAfee.
Oh.
He was like vaguely good looking.
It's amazing
how much money went a long way to make him more attractive.
No, but he had a baseline. He had a baseline. Whereas like you look at McAfee's face and it's like I could get this guy to attractive.
He's like a pre-surgery DeLorean. It would work.
Yeah, yeah, you can do it. But like, you know, whatever. So, Facebook guy, no.
Mental masturbation.
This was said by Andy Dunn, who I don't know who he is, doesn't matter.
Andy Dick?
No, Andy Dunn, not Andy Dick.
I love Andy Dick. He's the funniest guy ever, even though he's a predator.
From Nike, we buy victory. From Under Armour, we buy protection. From Lululemon, we buy Zen. From Patagonia, we buy conservation. From The Topic, we buy performance.
I'll give you a further hit. It's not Volkswagen.
I got one more. This is said by Henry Rollins.
Oh, Hank Rollins? That's a real font of wisdom there.
Now, if someone wants to spit on me, I just roll up the window of the topic.
Ferrari?
Oh, no, but it was on the list.
Go back to my
right hint. There. You're right there. Yeah, think more about John's hint.
We've done John DeLorean, so it's not
and,
that.
Yep. And we did Mercedes.
And
it's not Volkswagen.
I think you would have given it to me if I had said Enzo Ferrari.
Correct. We are not doing Enzo Ferrari.
It's not Lamborghini.
No, but Ferrari was on the list.
And it's not Mercedes.
Jim Bob Maserati.
It is eventually Rolls Royce. We got to go through a lot of shit before it becomes Rolls Royce.
There's a lot of numbers involved.
But it is eventually Rolls Royce.
There's a whole lot of numbers involved.
Many of them threes,
fives, and sevens.
Well, I was just thinking more like 351 or 320.
There's three fives and sevens.
Three number sequences. Very rarely four number sequences.
Sometimes there's a letter.
Porsche.
Oh.
Sometimes there's a letter.
Damn. You're in the right country. You're in the right industry.
They all have three number things.
Who else makes cars in Germany?
BMW? Yes.
There we go. Yahtzee, we got a winner.
That was like pulling teeth.
Oh, shit.
Sources, BMW.com, obviously. BMW
Group. We're doing BMW the company?
Yeah.
Oh, shitty.
BMWgroup.com. Every time you say it's shitty, it works out fine. Carcovers.com.
Only when I do it.
And MyAutoWorld.com. Yeah, John does get credit for picking. Well, no. This is one of the three. That's right. We had the misunderstanding because I can't understand humor through text message, I guess. All right. So it's October 1913. Carl Friedrich Rapp founds Rapp Motorwerken, obviously building motors.
Oh, God. Drink. Dude,
There's some words that are
Would
so
Would you
long.
Like me to read the German parts for you?
I thought about that. We might get there. We'll see how we do.
Because all our listeners are going to get really fucking drunk if you keep trying to read shit, and it's going to send me straight to the roof.
Yeah.
If y'all going on.
If y'all, you do have a whole lot of, like, projectile body function going on.
Yeah.
It's not coming through the mic great either. But, yeah, if y'all are actually playing the Ruined Heroes drinking game, you will probably be drunk by the end of this one just by my inability to speak.
I know I am right now. Better put on a slop apron.
It's because you got all daring and took the heavy beer out of the fridge. I don't know why you did that to yourself.
Because I don't.
Because some motherfucker's always going to ice skate up a hill.
I don't know all this beer.
That was done on
the
purpose.
Beer, I don't know the beer.
That is 2.5 Coors Lights.
Just look at it. It gives you a percentage that's required by law.
If I could read, I wouldn't be nearsighted.
Okay, so
take
anyway,
your glasses off.
This car.
That's fun. Make fun of the handicap guy. That's
I'm wearing
really,
glasses too.
That's
okay,
really cool. Well,
I'm allowed to.
I'm left-handed, pal.
That just means I need to sit on the different side of the
table.
Come over
here, like cross the Mississippi. Come over here to oppression.
You know what? It's not my fault. The devil fucking touched you.
17 minutes in one sentence, and this is where we're at already.
Christ, yeah.
And this is why we get one-star reviews.
Performative absurdism.
Yeah, John sounded like my dad with the whole thing. God. So,
do I need to take this belt off?
Obviously, Carl Friedrich Rapp was building motors.
That makes it better.
And he was able to make a name for himself quickly, and at the start of World War I, he had contracted with the German military to produce airplane motors. Although not bad, they had a flaw in the design that caused them to be rather vibrate-y, like rickety.
Which is probably not something you want in an airplane.
It shook stuff, but it was still one of the best ones out there.
Well, this was like World War I.
Yeah. Like, yeah, Red Baron
like
era.
Literally, the fuselage is made of paper.
And balsa wood.
Balsa wood.
Yes.
Like, it's the one
like
thing.
Like, you could go down to the hobby store and buy a kit that makes an airplane out of the same shit.
That's what I'm saying. It's like the one thing where, like, the kit, the model, is the same thing as the full-size thing.
Mm-hmm. Ultralights nowadays, that where you don't really have anything between you and everything else other than a windscreen, are built better than these airplanes.
Yes. So because of that fact, he started kind of losing some contracts in the middle of the war and struggling a bit financially. We're going to go through some cycles of struggling financially and not struggling financially. This is the first downhill slope for them. Around the same time, a competitor named Gustav Otto, who is a Facebook hint, and his company, oh fuck.
Where is it? Where is it?
Here. That starts with F. See it?
Flugmaschine in Fabrik.
Way better than I would have done. You may have gotten off on drinking that one, folks. That company was putting the motors into airplanes. So they didn't make motors. They took the Raps motors and stuck them in airplanes. Again, under contract with the German military. It was World War I and the need was high. Otto's company got the hog share of the contracts for putting motors in and building the actual airplanes. But they also started to struggle financially. Essentially, Otto and Rapp were working together, and I'm not certain I understand how the two companies became one, but they eventually did.
So let me get this straight. There's a war going on. There's not a lot of money, and companies started failing, so they got together and said, hey, can we actually survive and put bread on our table if we get together and try to do this?
It looked more like a mutual contract. Like, if you go to BMW's website and their history...
Yeah, if we get together, we can still put bread on our table.
There's two chains in the timeline, and then one of them just stops, and somehow these guys are working together. So
I'm trying to figure out, like,
sussing out why.
Like, one guy can make the motor,
and another dude, another guy can
put it in the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really? You need two people for that. Okay.
It also appears like Otto wasn't building the planes. Like, he got the plane from one source and the motor from another source and put them together.
Well,
and he made an airplane. I don't know.
Well, he may have had it.
Well, I guess that's like, you know, that's sort of like
modern. It's kind of like working on your car.
That is very much
that's
modern.
That's sort of like modern
sourced
planes. Yeah. Like Rolls Royce doesn't make planes, but they make a lot of plane engines.
Yeah.
You know, or.
Well, think about it. I mean, it's like working on your car.
Technically not.
You
know, anymore,
if you live in an apartment, you really can't work on your car very well. So you find a buddy who has the space that you can work
and
in
the
their driveway
voice,
or
you can
their
drop
garage.
It on somebody's foot. Yeah.
So maybe it's something like that. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. It was all kind of unclear. It's also World War I in Germany. So,
well, GE doesn't make planes, but GE makes plane engines. So
fair.
Okay.
So with Rapp struggling to keep his company alive, he...
F-14 Tomcat. Yay.
So with Rapp struggling...
Briggs & Stratton.
Okay, that's a lawnmower.
Teshmish, motherfucker.
That's just a lawnmower. Really good lawnmower.
With Rapp...
Snapper, yay.
With Rapp struggling to keep his company alive, he was saved when, in 1916, the Prussian army ordered 600 motors from his company. So the Prussians clearly are totally okay with shaky airplanes. This and his decision to enter a partnership with his financial partner, Camillo Castiglione.
Castiglione.
Yeah, very Italian name for a German guy, but... as well as another businessman named Franz-Josef Pop. I don't know.
Here's a hint. Like, all...
You should just send those notes to me. Seriously.
Like, really, like, all Western language, with the exception of English, are pronounced phonetically.
Do you think...
Just so you know.
...that telling me this for the 400th time is going to change the fact that I don't have a native language?
I think that you just...
You know that I... Like, the reason I don't have a native language is that I am
He doesn't pronounce anything
correctly. I am diagnosed
correctly.
Dyslexic. Like, I
Lysdexic.
Can't. Yes, very much. So, I mean, like...
I've never been here before. Make fun of my
disability.
Yeah, tell me about your...
Are you diagnosed?
Yeah.
Show me the doctor.
Show me the report. It's been about 35 years.
Okay, then you're not still diagnosed.
Anyhow, the company at this point in time, when they partnered all up, changed its name to Bearish. Ah, fuck it. John, we're right there.
Bayerische Flugzeugwerke.
Perfect. That's what they changed the name to.
Bayerische. That's basically Bavaria.
Yes.
Flugzeug is airplane.
Flying work. The W-E-R or W-E-R-K-E is work, essentially.
Bavarian Airplane Company, move along.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. This becomes BFW, so we aren't BMW quite yet. The next step was the transition to Bayerische Motorenwerk.
Bayerische.
Fuck it, whatever John said.
Bayer.
Motorenwerk, whatever.
Bayern.
Which means
Bavaria.
Bavarian Motor Works, essentially, yeah.
Yeah, because BMW wanted to do air, land, and sea. And that's why their logo looks like that.
Mm-mm. Actually, no, but...
they're not SEALs.
This is also when they went public. So they became a publicly traded business at this point in time. As a result of this, a logo was designed featuring the blue and white of the Bavarian flag and the simple letters BMW stamped above it. The most early ones that you can see are almost exactly what we know now. From here on out, all of their motors were delivered with this logo on them, but it wasn't until the 1920s that it was used in advertising. So You just bought the motor. Because, again, you bought the motor and you stuck it in an airplane made by somebody else.
Yeah, to give you an idea, Bayern is Bavaria. Bavaria is, like, the southern part of Germany with, like, Munich and everybody running around in Lederhosen.
Yeah, for the record, they are in Munich.
They don't do that on a daily basis, but...
But Oktoberfest is a serious thing.
Yeah. Oktoberfest and Stadtfest.
Yeah.
That shit gets real, yo. And they walk through the streets with, you know, half-liter glasses of beer. And
they're probably into that, like, boot-shaped thing. Drink the beer boot. You know, I don't know. You got a bunch of, like, large-breasted blonde chicks running around.
And all named Olga.
Yeah.
I don't know where you've been in Germany, but I didn't see a whole lot of Olgas.
I've not been to Germany. Heidi? Anyway.
Hi, Kay.
So even though the BMW motors were a bit shaky, they were well known to work. So like it shook the plane, but they were functional. It took one of their motors to set a new record when in 1919, the BMW 4 powered a person to 9,760 meters into the air. It was a record at that point in time. You got to think, somebody flew almost 10,000 feet up with no, like, they're not inside of their...
What? 9,000 meters?
Yeah.
So that's like 9,700
meters.
9,700 meters.
Roughly 10,000.
Let's call it 10,000. Just call it 10,000 feet.
Which is 10,000 yards into the air, and it's an open-air airplane. Well, like your average jetliner cruises at 29,000.
Call it 29,000 feet, just to make...
Yeah, so that's... You're over 5 miles up.
Yeah.
That's...
In a plane with air just around your face.
I didn't think you could do that without, like,
Have you ever met Germans? They're pretty fucking stupid.
They're tenacious, too.
You know the reason they had the spikes on their helmets? So that when they ran their heads into the walls, they would at least do a little bit of damage to the wall, too.
I didn't think that you could, like, fly that high without an air supply.
Apparently in 1919...
Again, reference German being stupid.
That's fucking insanity. 1919, they did that. It was a world record at the time. It's since been broken, but
Germans aren't known for
obviously we've gotten to fucking space and private aircraft now. But
Germans aren't known for a whole lot of common sense back then.
Hell, World War I and World War II.
Yeah,
well, this
started a whole lot of fucking wars in the early part of the 20th century and didn't win one of them. So go ahead. Yes,
I mean,
still bitter about it. Yes,
yes.
And this is in
reparations.
This is in 1919.
Yeah.
So this is in the middle of World War I.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this fits in with the German doctrine of, you know, aircraft dogfighting, which was like about 6 months old. So the German doctrine back then was they heavily favored flying above the enemy and then
coming down
at them.
Preferably out of the sun.
With the sun.
Just like a predator bird comes down and takes over a not predator bird. Yeah.
And so if you look at the Fokker DR1.
Oh, beautiful plane.
Not to mention, I love saying Fokker.
The first thing you see about it is a triplane. It's got the three wings, and that distracts you. But if you really look at the plane, it's got this huge tail and elevator section that allows you to change your elevation very rapidly, much more rapidly than anything else going on at the time.
I'm making a bunch of jokes here, but when Germans really try to figure out how to kill something, they go all out on how to kill it. The industry, they pack all of industry into, we need to figure this out. Yeah. And they put science behind it, and
there's a lot to be said for German engineering, even during these
times. They figured out that Top Gun was needed before there was a movie made about it.
Before Tom Cruise came around, right? Yeah. Kelly McGillis, oh my God.
Well, at this point, Germany is like in their heyday of the most technologically advanced country in the world.
Yeah, so, we're just coming out of the Ottoman Empire.
Right. But
we're still talking about Prussia.
They are the most technologically advanced country in the world. There's nobody who can beat them. You know, straight through essentially World War II.
Yep, which we still have to get all the way through.
Yeah.
So, when World War I ended, the Treaty of Versailles made the production of airplane motors in Germany basically illegal. This was obviously a huge blow to BMW, but they were able to transition to manufacturing train brakes and built-in motors that were often used in tools. This proved to be a very good move, and the company was purchased by Norbremse AG in 1920.
For fuck's sake.
The BMW name was buried. Don't waste your time on that one. I'll give you the big ones. In 1922, remember our dude Camille with the Italian-sounding last name that I'm not going to fuck up again? He was still the owner of a large portion of the company. He purchased the motor production and accompanying facility, as well as the BMW name, and registered it for a second time as its own company. So technically, BMW was rebirthed.
Yep.
Yeah. The same year, they were again allowed to build airplane motors, so they got back to that. They also started working on what would be their first motorcycle, the R32, which was released in 1923. Through all of its earlier iterations, this is the BMW we have today, both in company name and approach to the motorcycle building. They still use the general design that they had for the R32 for their modern motorcycle motors.
My neighbor actually has a BMW motorcycle.
It's an opposing two-cylinder.
Yeah, the opposing cylinders.
Yeah.
They have the BMW motorcycle in the designated parking spot for the apartment. They both have really, really large rigs that they
park elsewhere.
Yeah. But that motorcycle with a cover is right there. And it's like, yeah, okay. You know what? Nobody messes. Don't mess. No muss. No fuss. Yeah, I'd rather have a Ducati, personally.
They're pretty bikes, Ducatis.
Well, I mean, there's a lot to be said for the opposing cylinder in a motorcycle design. Yes. I mean, because especially with the way BMW does it, where they locate them very low and it gives you stability. And
a good low center of gravity, exactly, yeah.
A little bit questionable in the curves where you might scrape them. But, yeah, you know.
If you're just looking for a cruiser,
you know.
What I understand, they make a great touring bike.
Yeah, I can see it as long as you stay on good roads.
Yeah. So everything was clearly coming up roses for BMW, and they were growing. In 1928, the company ran into an opportunity to purchase one of the larger automobile companies in Germany, and they jumped on it. Purchasing, this is where John comes in, starts with the letter F right there.
Fahrzeugfabrik Eisenach.
Perfect. They purchased that company. They started to make their first cars under license from the Austin Motor Company, which is also a Facebook hint.
Like Austin Healey?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Aren't those guys British?
Yep.
Wait.
But they're making cars in Germany. And BMW bought the factory.
And that's kind of degrading.
Right.
Wow.
Wow. We're better at this than you are. And they fucking, that was kind of French.
We can't let this out unless, like, we have the British show for us on cars.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Wow. That's rough, man.
Well, they took that factory and the knowledge that was there, and a few years later, they finally produced the BMW 303 in 1933, powered by a straight six-cylinder motor. The car was another big success for the company, and I gave you guys a picture of this car because it's kind of cool looking.
I don't know. It looks like all the cars back then.
This particular one is in the BMW Museum. It's just, I thought it was kind of a pretty car.
It is.
It's kind of nice, but like non-remarkable in terms of cars of that day.
Yeah, I mean, it does look like it's got the big rolling fenders.
You wouldn't be able to distinguish it from any American car if Bonnie and Clyde was hanging on the side of it.
Yeah.
Fair. Those were mostly Fords, but yeah.
Yeah, but you wouldn't know the difference if you just looked at the picture.
That's the standard design for back then.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mostly because they didn't have spot welding and...
Yeah, everything was bolted. So, enter World War II. With the Nazis at the helm, BMW almost totally halted the production of anything that was not for the German military, which is standard.
That's pretty much everything that happens in a war. Yeah.
Singer made fucking rifles during World War II, so whatever. Airplanes and motorcycles became their everything. The downside is that almost the entirety of their workforce was starting to get drafted to fight the war.
Shocker.
The solution.
Helga comes in.
Nope. Start to force people to work. The Nazis are at the helm, remember?
Oh, that's right.
Start to force people to work. starting with non-Germans or immigrants in 1940 at about 3% of their
workforce. Hey, but you had a 0% fucking unemployment rate.
What they did. Yeah. Including the children.
It's really easy to claim a 0% employment rate when you tell them work or get dead.
So starting in 1940, with about 3% of their workforce being these forced workers or forced laborers.
Oh, the Jews. Just say it.
Well, it wasn't just Jews. It was literally like any immigrant.
Yeah, gypsies and Catholics. Yes. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. That's 3%. Well, it escalated real quickly. And they started using prisoners of war, which is against the law. Various people.
Was that any different than what we do with prisons?
I know. Seriously. It's written differently. Anyhow, they were using prisoners of war. They started picking up various people from concentration camps and anyone else they could really literally scrounge up.
Oh, that's right. What, prisons, you actually have to do something bad to get there.
Yeah, well, quote bad. So by 90,
I don't know, murder qualifies. So does, you know, anytime you break a law.
Yeah, possession of weed, bullshit. Anyway,
back then, was it illegal?
Yes.
Did you do it willingly?
Oh, stop it with your SJW.
So by 19,
I am no, I'm not.
By 1944, around 51% of their workforce was forced laborers. So. 4 years, they went from 3% to 51%.
Oh, yeah. Damn, Sam. Yeah. That's like...
That's escalation, motherfuckers. And conditions
like
as
the
you...
pyramids.
Yeah, it is. Conditions, as you can imagine, were fucking horrific. It was terrible. So the end of World War II was pretty brutal to the powerhouse that BMW had become. In fact, kind of to the entirety of Germany, but... Soviet occupation of the area their automobile and motorcycle plant were located meant that they not only lost the plant, but the people who knew how to run it.
Where were they?
It was something that is now Soviet occupied. It was Eastern Germany.
Okay. At the time, West Germany was about the size of Oregon. East Germany
was gigantic.
East Germany's a little bit smaller.
Yeah. No. Well, at this time, during World War II, they had taken over. Like, Poland was East Germany at that point in time.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay. So they moved...
Geographically speaking, in today's terms, all of Germany now is about the size of Texas.
Right. But then, you know, they'd taken over a bunch of it during World War II, but at the end of World War II, a lot of it had been taken back over. And so, like, where their stuff was now under Soviet control, and so they lost not only the plant, but the workers. Like, so it's just, we take all of it.
Well, yeah, because the villagers are like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I can go back. No, I don't have a house. It got burned down. Fuck. Shit. Yeah. Now what do I do? Oh, yeah. I live in poverty. Because Soviets.
Mm-hmm.
Well, workers' paradise.
Right? It's all for the collective good.
Hey, yeah.
So the Allied forces also put the hammer down on them by not only ordering their plants dismantled, since they were considered to be factories that manufactured tools for war, which they technically were, but much of the machinery was dismantled and shipped all over the world as reparations for war crimes. They would have little to no control of their factories until 1949 as part of this whole World War II reparations thing. Mm. Like, so you and I have talked about Huacheng in Albany, and how they had old giant metal presses that were World War II era German things. They probably came from this. We take your factories apart and disseminate them, and fuck you, So like Germany had it real rough. BMW real rough. They can't really make anything.
Well, rough because they're real assholes.
Mm-hmm.
I think
51% of their workforce.
I think when
51%
of your workforce is slave labor, you've kind of earned it.
Yep.
Yeah, you earn everything you get here.
As far as I'm concerned, like, you know.
Yeah, we'll make jokes about Germans doing all kinds of
doing
cool
German
shit,
stuff.
But this is Germans doing German shit, and you earn everything you get. Nobody deserves a damn thing in this world. You earn every single fucking thing.
Yeah.
Now, individually, there's a lot of people that live there that didn't earn what happened. But the higher ups,
they deserved it.
Yep.
You know,
and they steered
off,
a place.
Off with your head or go to South America, and those are your only two solutions, you assholes. So,
that's
I mean,
that's a really rough choice.
I know, South America all the way.
Well, like, you know,
only if you can ship MREs in there first.
If you can get out of the country quick enough.
And if you can ship MREs there first.
I mean, you know, how bad do you, I don't know.
So,
I think
anyway,
the people actually working on the line probably got it the worst.
They got shafted.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But at least they're getting paid now. Even if it is in Soviet dimes or whatever.
You're getting
it is.
Paid in that Yang Soviet money.
It's like...
I said I wouldn't say it again, but let's face it. The Soviet money
Sellers.
The Soviet money was some Yang money.
That
was some bullshit money. You weren't getting paid in
Soviet money.
Soviet money
is still kind of bullshit money. But anyway, yeah, I mean, like... But at least they're getting
Here's
paid.
Here's your voucher
sort of
for the
labor.
Company store.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
It's like a scam. I mean, are the Soviets like... You know, is Russia on the euro? Do they use euros there, or do they still use like?
I don't know, but my not educated guess is Russians are kind of a no group.
I think
they're
going to
be like, we're rubles forever.
Yeah, yeah.
Team rubles.
Yeah,
you know?
Where you don't know what your money's worth. Yeah.
Yeah, they're still like, using rubles.
Yep, like Team Krugerrand. We are not giving this shit up.
Yeah, there's a reason why the people most interested in Bitcoin tend to be Russians.
1 ruble is 0.013 cents.
Wow. We're talking worse than pesos now, right? So anyhow, this clearly pretty much killed the company. Holding on by a thread, they took to making pots and pans, as well as a few other household items. So, your next expensive pots and pans purchase should be a BMW pan.
That's what I'm thinking. Like a BMW crock pot would be worth a fucking
from
fortune
1950.
Now. That'd be worth a fortune.
A peso is three times what a ruble is.
Yeah. Again.
Son of a bitch.
Soviet money is kind of a joke. So, yeah, they're literally making pots and pans, which is hilarious. This kept them together enough to get back to trying to do what they were good at, motors and such. In 1948, they had finally pieced together enough new equipment to produce a new motorcycle, the R24. A reimagining of their earlier model, production was extremely slow at first due to the severe shortage of resources. But it was well-received, and by the end of 1949, they were able to produce a company-saving 9,144 of them.
Well, this is back when, like, the motorcycle was still considered an alternative to the automobile.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's still an alternative to the automobile.
No, it isn't.
What? It's a hobby item? Is that your argument?
Yeah, it's a hobby item.
Okay, like, that's fair.
Like, you know...
We don't live in Thailand, however.
You know, if you live in, you know, first world countries, you know, a motorcycle is a luxury. It's not a replacement for the automobile, you know.
But if you live in a developing country, anything you can get that runs other than you is perfect.
Yeah, pretty much. Anything you can get that doesn't have horns on it in front.
If you feed it in gasoline rather than hay.
Yeah. Yeah. You are moving up.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, like, that's amazing. 9,144 in their second year of production. That's pretty fucking cool. So having
three a day.
Yeah. But
no,
they're hand building
them. 30 a day.
They're hand building them. It's a massive workforce that they've accumulated in a couple of years.
There's no shortage of people wanting to work.
What? True. So, having finally regained significant control of their company and operations, the company was growing again. And in 1951, they released their first post-war car. The 501 was powered by a modernized version of their successful inline six that was designed to carry six people. Although it was not a huge hit, it reminded the world that they could build a powerful and well-made car. So they're back to semi-luxury vehicle. In 1955, BMW released a small car called the Isetta. You ever seen an Isetta? Go look it up. You're going to chuckle.
It doesn't look like a car.
Yeah, not so much.
It's got more in common with a golf cart than it does
three wheels.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
yeah.
Three wheels, yeah.
And the whole, yeah.
Not all of them, but yes.
The whole front of it opens.
It's kind
of
like, yep, that's the world we're dealing with.
It's, yeah, it's a thing.
So
it's something you buy your kid.
Yeah, it totally now has a cult following. Like, people buy them and restore them because they're hilarious. But it was supposed to fill the gap.
Expensive.
Well, now they are. It was supposed to fill the gap and provide a daily car for grocery trips and such. It sold, but not quite well enough. So they're still, like, they're growing faster than they can afford to. Although they had gotten back together and were doing a decent job selling their vehicles, they were expanding at a rate that they could not afford, and by 1959 were in some serious financial trouble yet again. So this is another one of the down. Like, we had the downturn before World War One, the downturn after, the downturn after World War Two. This is yet another downturn.
And during all this time, they're still paying off World War II reparations.
They're still paying reparations. Well, actually...
Yes, they are.
By 59, I think they were done with reparations.
Nope.
Okay. I'll believe you. You sound solid on that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not here for facts. Daimler-Benz reached out...
Daimler.
Sure. With an offer to buy into the company with a restructuring plan required. Shareholders turned this offer down, and one of the shareholders, Herbert Quandt, Quandt, invested more money in the company. This, coupled with a bunch of government assistance programs, kept the company on its feet yet again. So, I mean, the German shareholders, in a very German way, said, no, we're not taking your restructuring shit. We're going to do it our way. Keep going with it. And they got some guy to throw some more money into it, which isn't bad. Hey, money, speaking of.
Yeah, that's not money.
That wasn't money? No. Darn. Sticking to their guns worked, and in 1961, they released the 1500, which is a sporty, compact four-door. It served the middle class, who had a desire for some fun built into their practical family car. It sold so well that the factory could not keep up yet again. BMW had started to make money one more time, so they're, you know, back out of the valley monetarily, which is nice.
Sidetrack.
Yeah.
The very last debt payment from Germany for all world wars paid in October 2010 on the 20th.
Fuck me. Wow.
Okay. All interest... All reparations from World War One and World War Two
were paid in 2010. Was
yep.
The last
October
time.
2010 on the 20th anniversary of reunification.
God, wow. I mean, they did some atrocious shit, so... But wow.
Yep.
The world taxed Germany fierce. Anyhow, with production growing at a fever pace, BMW had to find somewhere to build new production lines. They bought the struggling Hans Glass Automotive Company, which included two just like it's spelled, H-A-N-S-G-L-A-S-S. I could not mispronounce well. I personally could, but I didn't. Anyway, mispronounced the Hans Glass Automotive Company, which included two new locations. Both were filled with new machinery, and the company built more cars and motorcycles than ever before. They had totally stopped airplane stuff after the Second World War. Partially, again, because they were prohibited from doing
yeah.
it.
But
yeah, well,
you can't do it.
Prohibited from having an Air Force, then there you
yeah.
go.
Yeah. So, they started shipping cars overseas and opening dealerships throughout the next decade, but it was in 1971 when BMW Credit, K-R-E-D-I-T, was established that the company saw its next big boom. This was a way to pump more money into the company by adopting the relatively new idea of leasing cars. By loaning money, and hence cars, to people all over the world, the company started to make money hand over fist, all while selling their product or leasing it. It's fucking brilliant. Like, they financed the leases. They took all the interest out of those leases, making money. And people bought their cars from them. It's like taking money with both hands.
Okay, let me... I have to actually go back. The number that I cited you and the date was paying off World War
One. 2010, they paid off World War
One. 269 billion marks, or around 96,000 tons of gold.
So they're still paying World War II then?
I'll look into it.
Holy shit.
Right?
Wow.
You know, not to, you know, lower the Germans' responsibility for starting a bunch of world wars, but, like, you know, I don't remember any payments from the Korean War.
Right.
Well,
you know, nobody else seems to get stuck with reparations.
You can't get
the
fuck all out of Korea.
You know, I mean...
And I mean, like, and everything since then has not really been a war, I think.
Did we get any police action bullshit? I mean, I don't know. I'm totally ignorant here, but did we get any payments from the Japanese?
We gave them money.
Yeah, we did.
We got Hawaii. Does that count?
No, that wasn't that wasn't out of Japan. You know, I mean, like, you know, Japan never paid shit. And we went over there and reordered their society and gave them our educational system and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, they never paid shit.
We also decimated two cities in a day.
Big whoop. I don't really care about that. Like,
that was more than decimated.
Okay, fair. It was the biggest
There was more than 10%.
It was the biggest strong word I could come up with, but yeah.
I mean, the
idea... Obliterated.
Fair.
The idea that we did more damage to, like, Japan than Germany is kind of ridiculous, because we didn't.
You're right. We did not, to my knowledge, which is minimal, we did not require the same out of Japan.
Yeah, and it's like we firebombed, like, Verdun and stuff, and, you know, if you got to take a way to go, like, frankly, a nuclear bomb is way better than being firebombed.
Jesus Christ. I would actually agree with you. This feels a lot quicker. What's your Jesus Christ? What'd you find now, John?
Germany signed an agreement on September 10th, 1952, confirming that West Germany would agree to pay 3 billion Deutschmarks to Israel in installments and 450 million Deutschmarks to the World Jewish Congress.
Holy Christ.
Well, a Deutschmark is about a quarter.
In 1952 Deutschmark? Dollars.
Are you kidding me?
What was it then? I don't know. Was it a quarter or was it $5? I don't know what it was. It really doesn't matter. Like, the Germans kind of owed the Jews some money.
They definitely did.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I'm not disputing that. It's just... I'm just marveling at the amount of freaking money that's going out.
The quantity is amazing, yeah. So, anyhow, back to BMW. So, with this growth, in 1972, BMW opened a plant near Pretoria in South Africa.
Oh, wow. That's like just...
Exactly. There's a theme here, right?
Wow. Jesus. Wow.
This was their first plant outside of Germany.
They had no PR person, in other words.
No. Clearly not paying attention.
Let's get the darkies instead of the hook nose to make this thing.
Yes, exactly.
Wow. Like, what the fuck is going through your head there, man? Can't you fucking realize, like, you guys are fucktards?
So, in 1984, this location would launch the 3 Series cars. All those 300s, the 320s,
like 320i.
All that. Yep, all that.
Yeah.
That same year saw the establishment of the BMW Motorsports Division, and hence their entry into the world of racing. So, they didn't race BMWs until 1984.
Wow.
Which is surprising to me.
I did not know that. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, very surprising to me. But, like, the first ones were the 300 series cars, and you've seen it before. It's white. It's got the blue and red stripes on the side. Yeah,
everybody knows the 300 BMWs.
Mm-hmm. And the rally cars that they were building, you know. Yeah. So, like, it's surprising me that it was 84 before they did that. But, anyway... In 1973, they opened a new office center, commonly referred to as four-cylinder. That's what they call the building. And accompanied by an extremely unique bowl-shaped building housing the BMW Museum. The building is an architectural marvel, as well as the third Facebook hint. And you guys get another picture just because... Whoops. Just because it's a fucking cool-ass building.
It is the unique building... Please don't modify your superlatives.
It's a cool-ass building, dude.
Well, you're either unique or not. It's not extremely unique.
It's extremely unique.
That's a modified superlative.
I know it bugs you.
I can't do that. It's fine. Bugs the shit out of me.
Move forward, my friend. I end lots of sentences in prepositions.
Is this the hill you want to die on?
Yeah, right. I'm with John. Find something better.
Trust me. There are so many hills that I've had to not die on with him. Here, have a real cigarette instead.
I will take that.
All right. Go ahead and just...
Man, with a real lighter. I need that stuff from you, boy.
In 1986, they made waves again by putting together an all-star team of engineers, designers, technicians, and other experts in a facility known as FIZ, F-I-Z. John? Starts right after the word fizz with the
Forschungsgegenheit.
Yeah.
Forschungs- und Innovationszentrum.
Yeah. Perfect. Thank you. Rough translation is Research and Innovation Center. It was the first collaboration team of its kind in the automobile industry and had over 7,000 people working together. 7,000 fucking experts, and we're just going to build automobiles.
And this is how they start taking over the world a third time.
A third time, yes.
And this time it kind of worked a little bit.
Quietly, and maybe we'll share our beer yeast, and that's about it, you know. So in 1996, we just did that one. Continuing to conquer the globe. Nicely done, John. In 1989, BMW decided to open a plant in the U.S. When it officially opened in 1994. And originally producing the Z3 model for the rest of the world. The factory now produces the X3, X4, X5, and X6 models, all in Spartanburg, South Carolina.
That's what I love about it.
And ships them anywhere you buy one of these models.
That's what I love about it, is like, they were like, you know, you get a bunch of Nazis, and they're just like, hey, where are we going to put a plant? Like, yeah, I was doing South Carolina, you know? And it was like...
Where is it going to be most beneficial for us? And how are we going to put our hooks in? And now we're going to do it economically instead of with bullets.
Yeah.
If we can't use bullets, we're going to do it with money.
And their first branch out of Germany is South Africa. The next one is the southern United States. Not to insult y'all, but there's some issues down there. And
well, no, because South Carolina gave them tremendous tax breaks. Yep. And it's been a huge thing with, like, Boeing trying to do stuff. And it's just like, hey, we're here. We're South Carolina. We'll give you a whole bunch of tax breaks if you come down here.
Employ our people.
Yeah, employ our people. I mean, I don't have any problem with that.
And it worked out great for them. Like I said, if you buy an X Series car, it's made in South Carolina. I don't fucking care if it says BMW on the outside. It's an American-made car. In another power move, also in 1994, BMW decided to buy the struggling Rover Group in the UK. This included Rover, Land Rover, MG, Triumph, and Mini.
Yeah, a bunch of shitty-ass cars.
Most of them known for horrible electrical issues.
Yeah.
But that's why we get Germans into the game.
I mean...
We fix it.
Land Rover has this great brand name thing, but that service thing... Nope. Nope.
Yep.
Land Rover...
Not with your dick and him pushing.
Yeah. Land Rover is kind of a step
His
down.
His dick or the car?
Yes!
Land Rover is kind of a step down from Fiat, you know?
Yep, fix it again, Tony. And MG might go... Yeah,
MG, so, the only thing they had going from was three windshield wipers.
And bug eye headlights.
Yeah, but the three wipers was really cool, but like
must go far away from this car.
might go.
Maybe. Maybe on a good day.
So BMW tried fiercely to live up to their investment, but ultimately it was too much for them, and they sold everything other than the Mini name in 2004. Mini, as if you don't drive in America at least, however, has become a good slice of pie for them.
Wait, what are you talking about? The MGB Mini?
No, like the Mini. Like Mini Cooper.
Mini Cooper.
Oh.
Yeah. Just, it's kind
of... That Austin Powers
It's the
piece
Mini
of
brand.
Shit.
Yeah. It's the Mini brand. My mother's on like her third one. She just buys a new one every once in a while.
That's called a lease.
I fucking hate. No, she doesn't do that. I hate driving them. They, to this day, put the speedometer in the center of the dash as opposed to in front of you like it's a rally car still. Not to mention, I can't get in and out of one without banging some part of my body on something. Fuck them.
Yeah.
I can't with the minis, but my mother loves them, whatever. Anyway, in 1998, they brokered a deal to purchase brand and naming rights for Rolls-Royce from Volkswagen. So, Volkswagen was making Rolls-Royces up until 1998. Again, with that English-German confusion thing. The way it was written, however, Volkswagen gets to keep the rights until 2002 as the transition happens. But the new headquarters, funded by BMW, opens in Goodwood, England in 2003. So there's a BMW Rolls-Royce headquarters in England in 2003, which is just fucking confusing to me. Yeah, you got the whole head scratching and everything going on, like not even faking.
Goodwood.
Weird. Yeah, Goodwood, right?
Goodwood. Wood.
Although they had owned the factory and name for the Mini since 1994, it was not until 1997 that they presented the concept car for the modern car that we see on the road. And not until 2001 that it went into actual production. So the modern Mini was presented at a car show as a concept car in 1994.
The Mini Cooper.
Yeah, the one, the modern one that you see all over the streets now. At least here, I don't know if it's the same
place. Yeah, I'd rather talk about BMWs that we know and love, rather than this that piece of shit.
We'll give a little space for that at the end, maybe. Anyway, just... Like they sat on that for almost 10 years. That's amazing to me. In 2004, BMW paired up with a Chinese manufacturer and opened their... Again, not consulting the fucking publicity people. And opened their first factory in China to build and service cars strictly for the Chinese market. So, like, the Chinese BMW-made cars, you don't get anywhere else.
Again, just... Gonna take over a little bit here.
Yeah.
And you guys are gonna do some really, really cool things with money in the future, and we want to be part of it.
In 2011, they pioneered Drive Now. It was an immediate rental service that was offered in Berlin, Hamburg, and San Francisco.
Yep.
As well as a few other prominent cities around the world. It is essentially like we have that, what is it, MeeGo car or whatever thing, where you can just type in your app and walk up to a car on the street and the key's hidden.
Yeah.
I don't know how that all works, but you get into it and drive away and rent it for a day. They pioneered that thing in 2011. And that's where I stopped writing anything about BMW. Would you like to talk about what BMWs you like?
Your dad's.
I'm a huge fan of the 600 series. The 630s especially.
Really, really rare.
His was a 635.
Oh, gorgeous.
It was one of those gray area imports where some doctor flew over to Germany, bought it, and then put it on a boat and shipped it back to the States. And there's some...
And it ran significantly better than my Volkswagen did.
Such a sweet car. Such a sweet, sweet car. I loved that car.
It was pretty.
Yeah, it was a fucking great car.
You would have loved this part of it. He had one Recaro seat in it for him. It's like, I don't give a shit about my passenger.
No,
I'm here to drive this car like a madman.
Not to ruin your illusion, but he bought it that way.
He didn't change it.
No, he didn't.
And of all the people in the world that would say, I don't like it, that would be him, and he would change it within about 20 seconds. He's like, nope, such this works cool for me. Car. Fuck my passenger.
Such a cool car. They're notorious for having
rust. You don't like rust. It? Right in the trunk.
They're notorious for having rust problems, which is why you don't see many of them anymore. But I would love to get a hold of one of those 630 series cars. They're so pretty. How about you, Rupert? You have a BMW you like?
Are we doing a wrap-up?
No, we're just talking about BMWs you like, but we could wrap up pretty soon, yes.
I like their motorcycles. That's it.
Oh, okay then.
I have nothing much to say about their cars.
Okay. Well, then What I learned is that BMW is one of the few car manufacturers, to my knowledge, that has stayed true to BMW's vision the whole time. And although it is full of mountains and valleys of profitability and loss and wars and reparations and all of that, they still make a good car. If I had the money for a car that cost that level of money, BMW is probably not the one I'm going to buy. But, as I said, I wouldn't mind if I became Jay Leno rich to own at least one or two of the 630 series cars, because they're gorgeous, they're a treat to drive, and I've never had a bad time even in the passenger seat of a BMW.
That 630 that your dad had, that's the first of my love affairs with him. Because everybody has seen, you know, your 318s, you know.
Well, he had the 320 before that, and the other one after that,
But for years, one of the guys that I worked with at a club in Portland, you know, we were, like, tighter than, you know,
Nats
balls. Flies on shit. Okay. I was going to use other epithets, but
I'm going to go balls.
With, yeah, there you go. But we would, at any time you saw a BMW dealership, he was pulling in because he had one specific model he wanted, which was the 330 CI, which looked like a 318, but it had basically the M3 everything else. So, and it didn't have that M3 badging, which means cheaper insurance.
And not as attention getting for the police.
120 miles an hour through the 4th of July Canyon going back to Montana. And he's doing it with one finger. The damn thing was brand new. And I did end up driving it a couple of times. It was a lot of fun. It was also the kind of thing that you can get in a lot of trouble with. But the price tag on it did not match the amount of fun that I was going to end up having in the long term. There is no way in hell. Yeah. Are they fun? Are they put together well? Yes. Yes. If you can afford it, do it.
It's a good option.
If you can't afford it, you better be able to work on it.
Even then.
And even then, if you're having to consider that, you can't afford it. But, you know, hey, if you got the money, you got the time, do yourself a favor. Get yourself a project car. Get yourself a hobby. Get a BMW.
I never liked BMWs. I thought they would kind of suck.
Out of the gate.
I mean, the thing about BMWs was they weren't faster than anything else. They had better handling than anything else. They had great handling. And that was really cool. And I'm talking just about their cars. The thing about their motorcycles that was really cool, great TIG welding throughout. Anybody who was a welder loved a BMW motorcycle because the TIG welding on that thing was fucking excellent. But now, you don't have to spend that kind of money. You want to see great TIG welding, you go get yourself a bicycle. Yeah. So, like, I don't even really count their motorcycles as all that great anymore. I mean, their motorcycles are, like, fine, you know, they're great, and it's like you have this fancy-ass motorcycle. Good luck having it worked upon, because if a bolt falls apart, you're going to pay about $50 for that bolt, you know. So, you know, great handling, great cars, good luck to you getting them worked on, and good luck to you ever getting anywhere on styling on them, because the styling was boxy, and let's face it, they look like a Volvo. This sounds like something that friends do.
Well, I thought we were friends.
I'm extremely uncomfortable with that.
I know. Do you know